Well, amen. Happy Wednesday. Appreciate you being here. Hope you're having a good week. Hope you've been blessed. Thank you, worship team. We appreciate it. So sweet and rich. Well, I'm tonight, and we'll be doing this for a while, but this is going to be a scripture that we're going to learn together as a congregation throughout the rest of this month. Hopefully, many people already know it, but we want to start building our arsenal corporately, and so each month for a while, I'm going to be bringing a verse before you, and we're going to declare it together. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we do this tonight. This is not what I'm preaching on, but I want you to join me in declaring this scripture. Okay? This is out of the New King James Version, Psalm 21:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One more time. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, I encourage you to jot that reference down and to work on that. And hopefully, all of us will have that memorized by the end of January, and we'll move on from there. Amen. You may be seated. And tonight, I want to share a message entitled, Praying the Prayer of Protection. Praying the prayer of protection. And obviously, there's no better place to land than in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is often called the soldier's prayer. There are a lot of stories that have been passed down through the years, some recently and some way back, of how Psalm 21 has been a blessing to the men and women of our military. And I remember reading recently of in World War I that they actually put Psalm 91 on a card and gave that to all of the soldiers. And if you remember Jimmy Stewart, those of us older would know him, a lot of movies. You may have seen him this Christmas. What's the name of the? It's a Wonderful Life. There you go. But he said his dad was given one of those cards in World War I and World War II. When he was sent, his dad came to him, gave him a letter, and had that card in there because it had meant so much to him. And I'll share another story concerning that psalm on the battlefield as we move through this tonight. So if you have your Bibles, and I'm also going to be putting the scripture up before us tonight, and tonight's going to be more of a teaching time. We're just going to work through Psalm 91, and the goal is to become just more familiar with how packed it is with the promises of God concerning the Lord's desire to protect us. And so let's, matter of fact, Psalm 91 is so powerful, the devil himself tried to use it to tempt Jesus. He did. Okay, Psalm 91, let's just step into it. We'll begin with verse 1. And the first things I want to talk about is dwelling, saying, and trusting. Those are three things that I think we're called to do just in these first couple of verses. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Now, we don't know particularly who wrote Psalm 91, other than to say a psalmist wrote Psalm 91. Number of commentators believe that it might have been Moses, because often if an author of a psalm is not named, then the one who wrote the psalm preceding would be the author. And in this case, that means it would have been Moses. So it was a psalm that was pulled forward, if you will. But notice the idea of dwelling. The person that gets the benefits of this is the one who is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Now, we would say that today, someone who has a deep personal walk with the Lord, spends time with the Lord, gets away by himself or herself with the Lord, intimately knows the Lord. And not only, there's a sense in which we grow in knowing God's Word, but then the more we know Him, we begin to learn and know His ways. And so, dwelling is important. In this busy world where our daytimers are packed and our schedules are so full, and if you get a moment, you have 1,000 options to entertain that moment. You need to chisel out a time. And it can be the same place. Doesn't always have to be the same place. Doesn't always have to be the same time. But, you know, we are creatures of habit, so it's good to have a time and a place where you draw aside and no one can interrupt the conversation that you and the Lord are having alone. So dwelling's important. And notice saying, He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Not just dwelling with Him, but it's important what you're saying in your battle. When you're saying when fear arises before you. What you say in the middle of that circumstance that's challenging you. You know, when your last, when your breakers tripping and your last nerve's being stepped on and your human resources are just about gone. What you're saying is so important, particularly at those times. Because deep from within, from your heart, your soul, deep in your spirit, you declare, notice, I will say, Lord, You're my refuge. Lord, You're my fortress. Lord, I'm trusting You. And some people have the idea, well, that I believe that in my heart. Well, that's awesome. It's important you believe it in your heart. But the Bible teaches us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible also teaches us that we are to be people who confess what's true. We're to confess God's Word. So I encourage you, if you're not already, most of us use our mouths. Do a little talking. Do a lot of talking. Some of us may have a more colorful vocabulary than others. Some of us may have more emotion in how we speak. But it's important as people of faith to say the right things. And let the Scripture be your guardrails for your tongue. And James reminds us, because he is one of us, how hard it is to tame the tongue. You can put a bridle in a mule's mouth and get him to do what you want him to do. You can put a rudder on a big old ship and get it to turn around in the ocean. But hardly can a man tame his tongue. We need heaven's help for our tongue. And one way we do that is when we're not being challenged to say the right things. To make it our practice. To start your day. I mean, what a beautiful scripture just to start the day on. Lord, You're my refuge. You're my fortress. I'm putting my trust in You this day. And then when you run into that situation, when you're being cornered or you're in a pinch, you can be reminded, hey, the Lord's my refuge. The Lord's who I'm trusting. The Lord's got this. He's my fortress. There is an immunity that we can have through our faith joining with God's Word that's been hidden in our heart and spoken across our lips. So dwelling, saying, and trusting. Notice that. He said, I will say, my God in whom I will trust. Moment by moment throughout every day, we are putting our trust in something or someone. And the biggest issue we have is to be delivered from trusting our own independence, our own selves. I'm not saying you shouldn't be confident. I'm not saying you shouldn't know your identity. Yes, but rooted and grounded in Christ and not any haughtiness or pride or arrogance. Hey, I've got this, Lord. I'll let you know if I need some help. No, you and I, we couldn't even take our next breath without the goodness of God being upon our lives. So let's move on, because it's a pretty big psalm. The next thing I want you to notice is just the contrast to the problems and the promises we see in these following verses. Verse 3, surely He, and by the way, when you're reading through Psalm 21, sometimes it's first person, sometimes it's second person, sometimes it's third person. Sometimes the psalmist is like talking to you, like he would be talking to you and telling you, this is how it works and this is what you need to do. And sometimes he's like testifying, this is what I do, this is what I believe. And at other times it becomes third person, like it's God talking through him to us. And so it kind of moves back and forth in verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That's a trap that people would use to catch birds. And the enemy wants to ensnare us, does he not? And he said, and from the perilous pestilence, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. We see that word refuge again. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. He said, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Day and night He's got you covered. Verse 6, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So you see all these contrasts, day at night, again, darkness and noonday. And you see all of these contrasts taking place. He talks about snares or traps. And it's just the truth. The enemy loves to create offenses. The Greek word scandalon, it speaks of a trap or a snare. Here is a literal snare to catch a bird for supper. And then he wants to devour us, as it were. He talks about pestilence or disease. He talks about the perilous pestilence, and he talks about the pestilence that walks in darkness. Some pestilences you're aware of, you know. They're known. You're aware of them. And sometimes, like in darkness, you don't even know it's there. He can protect you from the pestilence that you're not even aware is present. And this is the kind of protection this psalm presents to us. And then the attacks. He talks about that. The terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day. And through the years, I've talked to so many people who have literally had night terrors. Night terrors. Sometimes it may be related to some type of traumatic event that a person may have gone through. I remember one of my dear best friends when I was in elementary school, and I remember in fifth grade, his mom was my teacher, and I would go, we would play together a lot, and occasionally we'd spend the night at each other's house, but his dad had been Korean War, he was a Korean War veteran, but he had what they called shell shock. And it was sad because, like, if a storm came up in thunder, he would hit the floor and at times go under the bed because it would take him back to the battlefield. Can you imagine in the dark of night and mortars falling all around you and the fear of if you stick your head up, a machine gun, you know, those of us have never been in that circumstance cannot imagine that. But that man, even though it had been years and years, he was still carrying that terror inside of him. I remember, and I won't go too deep in this, but part of my story of having nightmares, and I actually saw it would have been today classified as a B grade, very cheaply made, but horrific, brutal, graphic, violent, serial killer type film when I was like 5 years old. And I was terrified at night for years indirectly because of that and some other things. But So this terah by night, you may have a child that has not mares or not terahs, and this is a great psalm to begin to decree and to declare, because the Lord cares about people that are having to deal with those kind of things. He's full of grace and full of mercy to help us in those types of situations. And even the word destruction is used there, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. That we call that broad daylight, when the enemy just tries to take you out. All different kinds of way. Take you out emotionally, take you out mentally, take you out physically, take you out spiritually, take you out financially. Here is strength for us from God's Word. So you see these problems, but also look at the promise. He said He'll cover you with His feathers. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I remember when I was little, and particularly at my grandmother's and my aunt's, my aunt lived next door to us, and then my grandmother just down the way. And everybody, almost all of our neighbors had chicken pens in the backyard, and those that didn't have pens just had chickens in the backyard. And so, but seeing the hen gather those chicks, you know, Jesus even used that as a picture of how He wanted to respond to Israel. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you. It's a picture of protecting, providing, holding near and dear and close to oneself. And here, the Lord says He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. It's beautiful imagery here of that are pictures and snapshots of what's in God's heart that He desires to do for us. His truth shall bear shield and buckler. There He says, my truth, which His Word, is armor to us. It's like armor. Armor. Whatever the enemy's launching or trying to, you know, cluster bomb your family or your life or aiming at you, the Word of God's armor. And you should see yourself under His wings. He's got you. Over and over, this idea of being covered or seeking refuge, being in a fortress, a place of protection, a place where there's something strong between you and what's coming at you. And it's Him. It's Him. I'm telling you, it's Him. It's Him. And He says, you don't have to be afraid. He says that we don't have to be afraid of that pestilence or the darkness and so forth. So we see problems, but all the promises that are in these scriptures for us. Let's move on. Next thing, I want you to notice, I just call this supernatural survival. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. Now, you can see that, particularly in those days when they would line up, find a valley, line up against each other, and just the landscape's covered with people with swords and spears and hand-to-hand combat and people falling. And this is a picture of 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. You know, that's usually the one that's wielding the weapon. But this promise, I mean, how do you survive something like that? Supernaturally. He says, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. If you could give me just a little patience for a moment, I want to read a story for you. I've read this a few times through the years, and as far as I know, it's a true story. It's a beautiful story. It's called God Sent a Cloud, and it tells the story of a soldier by the name of Spencer January. And so let me just read it. Would that be all right? I think it'll encourage and bless you. I've got it in big print here, so don't let these pages scare you. During the years of World War II, the pastor of a church in Dallas, Texas, called each deploying soldier forward and prayed Psalm 91 and other protection verses over them at the altar. That protection was powerfully impacting to Spencer January, who served in the Army's 35th Infantry. In 1945, his division had just been ordered to take the town of Ossenburg, Germany. John, did I say that right? Ossenburg? O-S-S-E-N. Ossenburg, he lived there a number of years. So, Ossenburg, Germany, where a war factory supplied Hitler's troops. Forcing his way through the dense German forest, Spencer was plagued with the thought that they might never make it back home alive. His group had been fighting for hours to get through the thick jungle-like terrain, when suddenly they came to an open space with a large stone house. They did not know that the large stone house in the opening was concealing the bodies of soldiers who had tried earlier to cross the clearing. But soon three nests of German machine guns suddenly began blasting away. But it was impossible to take them out since they were too far out of range. It was sure death to cross the opening. But it was the 35th Infantry's only avenue since every other passage into town was secured by the Germans. The team was in a quandary. They knew there was no way to live to tell the tale if they tried to push on through the clearing. It was impossible for Spencer not to think of his wife and five-month-old son he had left back home. The odds were 1,000 to 1 that he had seen them for the last time. Pain surged through his entire being with that thought. His only hope was a miracle from God. It's amazing what thoughts bombard one's minds in moments like this. Spencer began remembering elderly Mrs. Tankersley, a faithful prayer warrior from his church back home. He had never before even thought of his need for a prayer warrior, but now she was all he could think about. What if she was for real? What if those prayers she prayed were for a divine purpose? Time was running out, and in any moment, his group would be running right through a barrage of open fire. But before he even knew what he was doing, he found himself on his knees praying passionately. God, you've got to help me. Please do something. Spencer barely had time to finish his desperate prayer when the group was ordered to advance. Memories of home and family crashed down on him as he gripped his rifle, made his way across the clearing to the edge toward the edge of the forest covering. The painful thought that he would probably never see his family again stayed with him every step of the way. Suddenly, a huge white cloud materialized in what had been only moments before a totally clear sky. The cloud dropped down and shrouded the clearing almost like an eclipse. There was no way for the Germans to see where to fire. Instantly, Spencer and his fellow soldiers took off like runners in a race, this time competing not for a medal but for their very lives. Almost beyond belief, Spencer found himself across the clearing and into the thicket. Many more of his group were making it across. The ones in the very back were having to pull some of the wounded to safety. But even those were making it. No one had to tell them what he had just experienced was from God. As quickly as the miracle cloud had appeared, just as the last soldier made it across, the cloud vanished miraculously. Then suddenly, the earth literally shook in convulsions as the Germans launched a bomb that blew the stone house into tiny pieces. It became obvious that they did not realize Spencer and his group had already crossed the clearing in obscurity. All the way to Ossenburg, Spencer kept thinking about that cloud. He was used to the smoke screens that were used to hide the troops, but this was entirely different. This was not a man-made covering. He and the other men knew it was a supernatural intervention, and to continue his miracle, God helped him overtake the war factory in Ossenburg. A short time later, Spencer received a letter from his mother that had finally caught up with him. In it, she told him that Mrs. Tankersley, the very woman who had been so heavily on his mind the day when they were under attack in that open field, had called to tell her about a spiritual visitation from God. It had come in the night when God told her, Spencer January is in trouble. Get up right now and pray for him. Mrs. Tankersley said that she had prayed until time to go to work, and the last thing she remembered praying was, Lord, whatever danger Spencer is in, just cover him with a cloud. She told Spencer's mother that she had finished praying at 6 a.m. By the time he finished reading, Spencer was shaking so hard that he could barely read the letter. He realized there was a 7-hour difference in time, so Mrs. Tankersley had been praying just as his group came upon the German ambush. Her prayer to God to send a cloud covering would have been prayed at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Germany, just when they were ready to dash across the danger zone. God's supernatural protection made such an impression on Spencer that he dedicated the early morning hours every day for the next 60 years to pray for friends and relatives. After the miracle intervention in Germany, no one could have taken away his faith in the difference that prayer can make. He was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the prayer of that one faithful woman back in 1945 had not only saved his life, but also the lives of the other soldiers with him as they ran unseen through the cloud covering. God does stuff like that. He does. You know, you read that story. Yes, it matters when you pray. Yes, it matters that you be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit when He lays someone on your heart. And what fascinates me is how the Lord woke her up to pray in order to save this young man and his fellow soldiers. Would God have to done that? God chose to do that. He's chosen to partner with us. And as you've heard me say often, I heard Dutch Schutz say this years ago, there are things that will not happen if we do not pray that would happen if we did. Sometimes someone's survival may come to pass because God intervened supernaturally because you prayed. And at the very least, we should pray for our marriages and our families and our children and the people we know and our fellowship and so forth. But be particularly sensitive to these promptings. God promised 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I want you to see that a decision made can sometimes equal angelic aid. We see that here in Psalm 91. He says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. We often pull that one. I mean, that was one the last few years we decree and declare. But growing up, particularly when our children were small and they got around other little kids and somebody said something like stomach virus. Yeah. How many of you had the stomach virus to go through your house? You know, I've got some stomach virus stories that I'll spare you those tonight. But I also wonder how many times we were spared because we were declaring, no plague shall come near our dwelling. So, well, you know, you're just saying that you had stomach virus, now you're saying you should. Yeah, there's a lot of times I didn't think to do this or wasn't doing it ahead of time. But it pays to stand on God's word. Take God at His word. He's not a man that He should lie. No plague shall come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge. This is the scripture the devil tried to use on Jesus. Jesus wasn't going to misuse this scripture. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Now notice I'm telling you there's a decision made can equal angelic aid, because notice how that section starts. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. And those other promises follow. Because the decision made that I'm trusting the Lord's taking care of me, the Lord's my refuge. The Lord's my fortress. You know what you're saying? Lord, I'm dependent on you. I'm dependent on you. And you know what God will do? Because you're declaring He's your fortress, that you're taking care of Him, you're His armor, He will send angels to bear you up, do a lot of other things, to protect you supernaturally. There's no telling collectively how many hundreds of times, if we combined, if we had the awareness to know how many times God spared us and rescued us from danger by the use of His angels, it'd probably be hundreds and hundreds of times just from the people in this room tonight. And sometimes those things happen, and in the natural, you look at it, you say, that should not have happened. I should not be here. There's no explanation why I am still here. Well, here's the explanation. He shall send His angels, and they will bear you up. This is one of the way He is your fortress. This is one of the way He covers and protects. This is one of the way He keeps you from being the one who falls in the attack, is He sends angels. Didn't Jesus say when they came to arrest Him, I could ask Father right now, and He would send 12 legions of angels. But Jesus knew the purpose of the Father was for Him to head toward that cross. He came, and He fulfilled that mission. But thank God for His angels. We don't worship angels. I would encourage you not to get over-enthralled with them. You should respect them. You should honor the ministry of angels. You should thank God for them. But realize that He is the Lord of the angel armies. And He uses them to take care of His children. Most every parent in this room, you would do everything in your power, everything in your strength. Use whatever assets you may have. You would try to pull together everything possible that you humanly could to protect your child in a time of danger. And that came from the image of God in us to want to care for our own. I mean, He put that in a rabbit when she has baby rabbits. I mentioned a chicken earlier. He put that in a chicken to take care of her chicks. He puts that in the animals running up and down the fields. He put it in the highest of His creative order, man and woman themselves. God put that in there. And we get that from Him. So how much more is He is that multiplied many times. And He has unlimited assets and resources. He is the Lord of the angel armies. So we need to realize that. Open our eyes to that. Like Gehazi's eyes were opened by the prophet, and he saw the angels of the Lord covering the mountainside. They that be for us are much more than they that be against us. I just want to prophesy that over you tonight in the middle of your battle. They that be for you are much more than they that be against you. That this God of Psalm 91 is telling us tonight through His Word that He wants to protect us, care for us, keep us from evil, even if He needs to send His angels on the scene to get it done. Now, I hasten to conclude now. I want to talk a moment about agreeing with and acting upon God's promise. Because in this last section, it's like the Lord is speaking directly to us. It says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Man, is that not an awesome telegram to get delivered to your mailbox? Written by God Himself. Can you hear that? The I wills of God? Man, the devil wants to scream so loud or create chaos to where he tries to deafen you and keep you from hearing what God is saying through His Word. I love this promise in verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. God just don't sit there and let the phone ring. He don't send you to voicemail. call on me and I will answer you. I don't know how many times lately, and you know, there's just certain numbers, and I know there's a number of you like that here tonight, but like today I look down and, you know, several times during the day you look down and it's looking, boom, 333. Sometimes it'd be several days in a row. And I had about a month or so ago, I was waking up at night and several nights in a row, in the dead of night, boom, 333. Well, and the Lord knows what that means to me. Call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Yes, Jeremiah. We hear you talking, Lord, through Jeremiah. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3, and I love that. I love that, that He will answer us. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him, honor Him. I'm telling you, verse 16 is one to declare over your life, declare over your family. Lord, I'm trusting You. Thank You that with long life You will satisfy me. You will give me long life. You'll satisfy me. Another one, I declare over my mama every night. She's 87. You know, I declare it over our family and over my mama. As our days, so shall our strength be. I'm declaring it and I'm believing it. As my days, so shall my strength be. I'd rather declare it and believe it than to let it slide and not know what might have happened had I declared it and believed it. But here's another one. Lord said if we'd make Him our refuge, He would satisfy us with long life. Well, I know someone that loved Him that didn't live a long life. You know, there's a number of questions we can't answer. But I, as you've heard me say, one thing that I when I don't know how to pray, when I'm praying for someone, because there's a point on demand once another, there comes a time when, and I've had the Lord give me peace that, hey, this is time for this person to go to be with Him. You just know it. Not that I would tell them that, but I've seen the Lord give people that peace too. But Lord, may not one day be stole from the calendar You've ordained for our life. May we not go home one day before we've done what You've created us to do. May we not go home until we fulfill the destiny You have placed before us. Declare those things over your life. With long life, He will satisfy me. Lord, I thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for this psalm. I thank You for reminding us of Your promise to take care of us and protect us. Lord, I know this is a simple meat and potatoes type of teaching tonight, but we need to be reminded of these things. And we thank You that You're so good. You're so faithful. We bless You tonight for that. I want you to take a moment and just meditate on one portion of this scripture and return it to the Lord in prayer for your own life. For your family. Someone you know in the middle of trouble or battle. What could you declare over them right now in prayer? Like Mrs. Tankersley, who prayed for Spencer January. What could you begin to pray and declare and believe for yourself, for someone else? And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank You for the wonderful pleasure and privilege of being able to teach Your word tonight and to pastor this congregation, this flock, this body of believers, Lord. And I pray that You would bless them. I pray, Lord, that You would just unfurl Your wings over each and every one of them. Draw them close to You like as if Your feathers were surrounding them. Lord, I pray that You would just lead them into that place of refuge in You where they feel safe, protected, shielded from all that's harmful, all that's evil, all that's wrong. Pulled into that place of perfect peace. I pray tonight, Lord, that those who are in battle under attack, being assaulted in some way. Those who are in emotional upheaval or have lost their peace and have chaos in their thought life. Whatever's going on, I declare over you, the Lord is to be your refuge. Seek your refuge tonight in Him. He will keep you safe. He will keep you peace. He will give you peace. He will deliver you. And I declare over our lives tonight, no evil shall come near us. No plague shall come near our dwelling. Because we have put our trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that watch over us. We bless you for that tonight. And I pray, Lord, right now, even right now, anyone under the sound of my voice or that may be listening online, that you're dealing with, Lord, they're holding back and they're not committing, they're not stepping into it. Oh, God, grace them to take that step right now, to yield, to make the right decision, to put their trust in you, to yield their hearts to you, and live their lives for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'd stand with me, I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members to be down here. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you, but up here there will be some people to pray with you if you need prayer tonight. I know a number of you were prayed for earlier, but if some of our prayer team members would just come, some of our staff, just be here. If you have need of prayer, we'll be glad to be up here and pray with you. And I pray you have an awesome week. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.